Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Family Church. We're excited to be here. Amen. The Corey edition. Praise the Lord. God's got good things for us tonight. Amen. Amen. I hope you're not tired of hearing that. Glory to God. I never get tired of hearing that someone's got good things for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, in fact, you tend to like people better when you know that they always got something good for you, don't you? If there's somebody that blesses you often or something like that, man, praise the Lord. There's just a natural process in that. You're just going to like them better, right? Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, it doesn't mean that we necessarily show them favor, one person favor over another in general. But, you know, there are things that are truth. Praise the Lord. And so the same thing with God. God's got good things for me. So I just love getting in there and finding out what those good things are. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you're someone that says, He doesn't have any good things for me. Well, praise the Lord, you need to just learn to follow the God that I follow, because that God does have good things. Amen. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. This message tonight is called The People of Hope. Amen. We're going to be, you know, this is something that kind of dropped my spirit earlier this week. Actually, I ended up writing a faith fix. I bypassed questions and just decided to write my own faith fix again. Amen. But that was just a direction of the Lord, and it was on this basic subject. But, you know, God just, it seemed like there was a message in it, too, that I needed to preach. And so I'm thankful for that, and I'm excited to get all that what God has for us out of it. Amen. And so if you came expecting tonight, I came expecting. Amen. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And just in case you didn't know, the word hope, as it's used in the Bible, means expectation. Yeah. Glory to God. So if you came in expectation, you came in hope, true biblical hope, amen, that something good was going to be said, something was going to happen tonight, that God was going to deal with your heart on things, amen. You know, praise the Lord, we had Dr. Matthews in just recently, and it was just a whim. And when I say a whim, I mean it wasn't something that we were planning, but it was a Holy Ghost whim, amen. And we know that the Holy Ghost whims aren't like typical human whims, where they just, you know, they just come about and just come out of nowhere, you know, but God's got a plan for it. Amen. But we follow it, praise the Lord, as we hook up to it. And you know, as we sat with him and we talked with him and all these different things, I purpose in my heart when I have somebody like that caliber in to the church, that I don't necessarily just start sharing everything right up front. And the reason I don't do that is because I want to see what the Lord shows them, you know, because when the Lord shows somebody something supernaturally and then they confirm it through what they say, not because I told them something, praise God, then it helps confirm it in your heart and gives you an anchor, amen. And plus, you don't muddy the waters that way, so people aren't prophesying out of their desire or prophesying. And anybody can fall into that, fall victim of that. But praise the Lord. So he didn't, we didn't, he didn't. Glory to God. But he did prophesy, and he shared a lot of things with us. Amen. And it's amazing that there's a lot of things that I've been seeking God on, a lot of things that I've been asking the Lord about, a lot of things that I haven't been getting answers to. And you know, this is an interesting thing. I'll just share this as I step into it now. But you know, sometimes God isn't going to tell you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes he's going to tell you through somebody else. Yeah. Sometimes the answer you need is going to come in the service you're sitting in. Amen. Through what the preacher says, glory to God, or being in the right place at the right time. Amen. And so that's why I endeavor to always be in the right place at the right time. If I hear something's going on, well, I seek my heart on that. Is that something I'm supposed to be connected to? Is that some place I'm supposed to be? Why? Because I want to receive all God has for me. Amen. Now, we can all get good things out of any service if there's somebody's preaching good, amen. But how many know it's even more important to be where you're called to be, praise the Lord, because then you get the fulfillment of what God has you, amen, has for you. Well, at any rate, God spoke through Dr. Matthews and shared a lot of things with me, answered a lot of questions and things I've been seeking him on. And, you know, it's great that you get that, because when you have that, then you, okay, now know that I'm either going in the right direction or, you know, because every one of us, even being led, you know, being led isn't, you know, it's not a formula. Being led by God's Spirit, amen? And sometimes our emotions or our desires can get involved in that. And so we need outside influences, amen? If we didn't, God wouldn't have given them to us. Well, praise the Lord. But we have we should have a certain expectation for these things. Now, getting into the message, we should have a certain expectation that God will speak to us. Praise the Lord. And so when we come to church, we should come with the expectation that we are going to hear from God. Amen. And we do if we do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're the people of hope. We are a faith people. We're the people of love. But as much as these two things, we're also the people of hope. Yeah. Amen. Now, hope and faith are a little bit different. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, faith, of course, we know what faith is. Faith is, you know, based in, it's what we believe, obviously. But our hope is our expectation, praise the Lord. Hope is what keeps us going. Hope is what keeps us focused on the goal, amen? Hope is what the thing that you're believing to manifest. Faith is that you're believing for it, praise the Lord. Hope is what you're believing for, amen? And there's a difference there, and it's important to know, amen? Why are the people of hope often so without hope? This is something that I have come up against. I've seen it in my own life, but I've come up against a lot, you know, and it's just a question that I always have. You talk to Christians, and how many Christians have you talked to that are just downtrodden and depressed and beat up and just defeated in life? And listen, and we all go through moments. Going through a moment, going through a feeling is one thing, but when you live in a depression, when you live in the setback, when you live in these things, that's because that's where your expectation is. That's where your hope is. And that's not what it's supposed to be, amen? And oftentimes, Christians will get caught in a cycle of staying in something because they just don't use the word to get out of it, amen? Praise the Lord. But the truth about it, we find out, why are the people of hope so often without hope? And that's because so many Christians just don't know anything about endurance. They don't know anything about endurance. They haven't allowed endurance to be built in them. And because of that, they stay without hope, and that's not God's plan. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13, and you are going to see something pop up there. Hey, hallelujah. You're going to see the reference pop up there, but you're not going to see the whole scripture. It's what we decided after last week. You know, sometimes there's things you try do by trial and error. Praise the Lord. But one of the things we thought, if I put up the scripture references, then people know where they're at. Amen. They can write it down. They can see it as I'm talking. Praise the Lord. But if I just put up the reference, and they still have to get in their own Bible. Glory to God. And so that's a good thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It's good for us to know the word. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Do you know there's scripture that I remember because of where it is?
Yeah.
And not because I remember the exact number, but I'm like, oh, I saw that on this page, and it was in this section of this page. Yeah, amen. That's sometimes you'll remember that way. And so that's why it's good to get used to it, amen? So 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Praise God, hallelujah. This is what the scripture, now the scripture is encompassing several things, but a portion of it we're not going to focus on tonight. But it was interesting because God spoke this to my spirit this week. And this is where the message came out of. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Glory to God. Now, you know, to be ignorant is to be without knowledge, you know, whether by refusing it outwardly or just not knowing. You can be ignorant, not purposefully ignorant, but you're still ignorant. Yeah. Amen. And I love when it says things like this in the scripture, because we understand that God's purpose and desire in us is that we never be ignorant of spiritual things. God intends that we know. That's why he gives us the avenues that he can. Amen. You know, Christians, yeah, I'm going to share something with you. The Lord was dealing with me on some things as we were preparing, as my wife was actually doing announcements. Praise the Lord. I gave it this little title as I was writing down what it was coming to my spirit. What about that? What about that? Amen. What about this scripture or that one? Sometimes you'll hear Christians, you know, you'll get in a discussion with a Christian, especially Christians that aren't well taught, and they'll hear something preached and they'll be like, yeah, but what about this scripture?
Yeah.
Well, there's an answer for that, but you got to give me a moment to answer it. Amen. But you'll see Christians, sometimes they'll do that. They'll go back and forth. Well, what about this one? Well, what does the scripture say about this? Or what about this? I know you're saying this or you're claiming this, but what about what this scripture says? Right? I'm not afraid. This is what I wrote down. I'm not afraid of finding a scripture that contradicts, because scripture doesn't contradict.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you find a contradiction in scripture, it's because you don't understand something.
Yes.
It's not because God contradicted himself, Praise the Lord. And so people sometimes they want to get into arguments. They're like, well, what about this one? Well, what do you think? I mean, I know that you're preaching this, but what does the Bible say? What about this scripture? Well, yes, it says that. But if it's contradicting in your mind, it's because your mind isn't wrapping around what God's doing. Amen. The problem is so many people change scripture, calling it interpretation, right, to meet up with their understanding instead of changing their understanding to meet up with what the scripture says. This is where people fail. And this is why we get so many, what do we know? What religion to believe? I'll tell you what religion to believe. This religion. Yes. The one that's based in scripture. Yeah. Amen? This is our religion. Yeah. Praise the Lord. This is what we believe. Yeah. And so, praise God. Hallelujah. And so a lot of people are ignorant, hearkening back to the scripture we just said. A lot of people are ignorant because they don't, they go after the contradiction. They're looking for a place for it to fail, or they're looking for a way out of it. You know, you take things like a lot of things that we preach. You take things about healing, or you take things about prosperity, or you take, this isn't, there's not just one scripture on it. There's whole themes of scripture. Two of the names that God gave himself is healer and provider. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what he named himself. He gave himself that name. We didn't say it. Moses didn't say it. He told Moses. Praise the Lord. And so in that very, that understanding, and even this, we look at the scripture and we look at how many times God changed the name of somebody to match up with what he's saying in the moment. Praise the Lord. Why did he do that? Because it evidently means something to God to call something that reflects what it is. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. And so many people get into ignorance. I didn't plan on saying all this, but praise God. I don't know how we got on it, but it's good. Hallelujah. When I say I don't know how we got on all that, I really do know. It's the Holy Spirit that's leading us. Amen. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. We don't want to be ignorant. And now it goes on to say here concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, this scripture is talking about those who have passed on, passed away, died, praise the Lord, whatever you want to call it. But that's not what we're focusing on here. We're focusing on this other part of it because this applies to many other things. Amen. He goes on to say, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. God does not want us to sorrow as those who have no hope. Now, that's the thing that I want to focus on. Praise the Lord, is the people of hope so often sorrow as those who have no hope. Now, listen, if we're not supposed to be sorrowful, praise God, then it doesn't matter what thing it is, whether it's death or anything else. God doesn't, I mean, this scripture applies. You can see how that, you know, God doesn't want us sorrowing in anything. That's why he gave us Jesus. But we have to understand that. God doesn't want us to sorrow as those who have no hope. Now, notice he didn't say we shouldn't sorrow. There are moments, you know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes there's a time to weep. Sometimes there's a time for it. Sometimes, a lot of times, people take the time to weep and extend it too long. You know what I mean? You can be sorrowful in a moment, but to live in perpetual sorrow is not God's plan. And the reason we understand this is because God has made hope to be such an important thing. Hope is literally expectation of good or bad. That's what it is. Your hope is based on what your expectation is of good and bad. That's your hope. Praise the Lord. Now, God wants us to have expectation of good and not bad, but a lot of people have an expectation of bad, and therefore, based on their hope, that's where their faith is, and that's what they receive. Even though that it's not God's plan, amen? God wants, he has made us to be the people of hope, amen? Glory to God. Another way of saying hope is the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Now, we hear eternal salvation, and a lot of us, we think, okay, great, that's for when we die. But we have to remember that eternity, the word eternal, to understand that, it starts the minute you receive it. And so salvation is perpetual or eternal from that moment of salvation, that moment of receiving it, on until forever. There's no beginning date that you're waiting for. Once you're saved, you're saved. It's just in motion. Amen. Certain things are set in motion. So when we realize that, praise the Lord, the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation or salvation in anything that you could face, anything that you're going to deal with here in life. And so as we walk out this life, we have to have a certain, if we're going to be the people of hope, we have to have a certain joyful expectation of good, praise the Lord, if we want to see it. Because hope works together with our faith. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see this, we understand this, but we have to grab onto it. So many times we let our hope slip because of what our circumstances are. When things don't line up, and we're going to, praise God. Actually, I think I'm preaching this part or what I was going to say tomorrow. But I'll just say it tonight too, because it kind of applies here. But so often our estimation or our hope, our expectation of good slips because something has been presented in front of us. And sometimes we don't realize that God will allow us sometimes to move into places of sorrow or suffering because of what's going to come out of that thing. Now, what I'm saying is that God does not put bad things on us. God does not keep us in a place of perpetual sorrow. People who stay there are people who have no hope. But God will allow us at different times to move in. He allowed the Apostle Paul to be put into prison. He allowed him to be beaten. It wasn't God's desire for him to be, but he allowed it because what happened? The furtherance of the gospel. He went into jail and look at what happened. All of a sudden, you know, it all opened up and all these people got saved. And then a whole lot, you know, the same thing with God allowed Jesus to go into the storm. Praise the Lord, on the boat. And then he allowed him to be met by the mad man of Gadara. Well, wait a minute. I thought we're delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. He was obviously the madman of Gadara who was wicked and unreasonable.
Yeah.
But I thought he was delivered. He was delivered after he dealt with it the way he's supposed to. So sometimes the things that we're going to go through in life, there's purpose in it. And you got to just not be so we have to have expectations that are based in some truth. Amen. And not just based on what we want. Obviously, we don't want to go through a hard time. But if we have to go through a hard time for a minute, praise the Lord, I don't want to preach tomorrow's message. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we understand. We have to have an expectation of good. We have to expect that if we're going through something bad, that we're going to get through it. And then on the other side, the Bible's true and it'll be good. Amen. Turn with me to James 1. Praise the Lord. Joyful and confident expectation, right? So now we'll turn to James. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. James 1, verse 2. My brethren. James 1, verse 2. Remember 2 to 4. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's so small up there. I like it, though. It's neat. It's kind of neat. Praise God. My brethren, count it all joy, joyful and confident expectation. Praise God. What do you believe?
Yes,
what do you believe? You cannot count it all joy if you have expectation of bad. If you believe it's just going to fail again, this time it's going to take me out, then you are not going to count it joy. And nor should you. Because you can't. How are you going to make yourself? You have to realize that your hope has to be based on something else. Amen. It's got to be a good hope. Hope for good. Amen. When it is, then you understand. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, I love this because sometimes I like to say it this way. Sometimes I read it this way. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The testing of your faith produces. It produces something. That if, but see, it doesn't produce it in people that don't have joyful and confident expectation. It produces nothing in those people. Listen, there is, because that word patience literally means endurance. It's the same thing. It means endurance. It produces endurance. What is that endurance? The testing of your faith. As your faith is tested, it produces endurance in you. And endurance is what allows you to be able to get through every test and trial, knowing that there's something on the other side. But see, if you're a person of hope, you'll believe that. If you're a person of expectation of bad, of the wrong hope, praise God, you're not going to believe that. So you'll never get in joy about it. You'll never be happy about it. You'll never be able to rejoice. See, the people, Christians who sit there and cry and whine and cry and whine and cry and whine over and over and over again about the same things, it's because they do not understand who they are in Christ. They do not understand that God has given them hope. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you turn that down just a little bit? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we see that lacking nothing is found in endurance. It's found in learning endurance. But if we don't allow endurance, in endurance to have its perfect work in us, patience, it's these words, this is not something I'm just making up. Amen. This is in our Bible. But if we allow these things to have its perfect work in us, it will produce what God has intended it to produce. Amen. Now, again, God is not just looking around saying, what trial can I dump on this person? What trial can I dump on this person? But don't we know as we walk down, you know, the road of life is not perfect, is it? Just like a regular road. Amen. You can get on a road. Can't you get on a road and you're going down the road and everything's fine and then all of a sudden you get to a section of road that's just really bad. Yeah. Right? It's just really bumpy. Sometimes you get to a, have you ever gotten to a road and then the pavement ends? Yeah. You even may see a sign that says pavement ends. But I still got to go that way. So what do? Then you go on the rough road, and it's a lot more bumpy, amen? And it's dirty, and there's all other guys, there's obstacles, there's potholes, you have to slow down, you can't go as fast as you could before, amen? And all these things. Well, life is the same way. God will lead us down a road. If he's got a destination in mind, though, and this is what we have to understand, if God has a destination in mind, but there's a road in between that's going to be bumpy, that's not necessarily God's fault, amen? You can't, you know, if I'm driving, if I'm taking you somewhere down one of these roads, and we know that we have to go from point A to point B, and there's one way to get there, amen? And that way is not always going to be fun, not always going to be nice. You can't look at the driver and say, man, this is your fault. Praise the Lord. As long as the driver's trying to get you there safely, you want to get on board with it, amen? Praise the Lord. And is timing and stuff like that. But we understand the same thing. There's going to be opposition in life. There's going to be times where things aren't always easy. And the reason is not because, again, not because God wants to do it, but it's because we live in a world that's fallen. God cannot change that fact. Well, he can by destroying it. But then if he destroys the world, yeah, people say, well, why does God let this bad thing happen? If God's so good, then why does he allow this sin to happen where these people out here, they maybe did something horrible, raped a child or something terrible like that? Listen, God could end it all real quick. But the way that he does it is by having to pull the plug. What does that mean? It means there's an awful lot of people that will spend eternity in hell because of one bad thing. God can't just, the only way he can do it is by destroying it. And so that's not God's will, obviously. But we can't sit there and say that it's God's will that all these things happen just because there's opposition along the way. He will allow you to go through your life and there will be opposition, but he promises that if you go through it with the right expectation, if you go through it with the hope that he's given you, that's why he's given us the word. The word tells us what we can hope for. The word tells us what we can have faith in. The word tells us that we should be people of faith. He says we're not justified except by faith. In other words, you're only justified by what you believe of that good expectation. That's the only way that you're justified. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. And so God's intent is that we be complete, lacking nothing. Now, we know that God has done these other things. He's done some things like he's added the, things like all things work together for good. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He's added the ability that all things will work together for us and work out for us if we keep that hope and that expectation. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Amen. Now we know that that's important. We know that the greatest of these is love. And that's one that we often focus on if we read this scripture. But we have to remember that just because it says the greatest of these is love doesn't mean that the other two don't matter. It says the greatest one, praise the Lord, is love, which is obvious. But we understand that the other two, hope and faith, they work together with love. In fact, hope and faith are a product of love. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. And you will continue in love through hope and faith. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So how do we count it all joy or rejoice in trial? We have to allow hope to work in us. We have to allow hope. Listen to what I said. Christian, you have to allow hope the way God has designed it to work in you. If you don't allow hope to work in you, guess what ain't going to work in you? Hope. It's up to us. We determine whether or not it's going to be good or it's going to be bad. Yes, you didn't change it. You're not going to change the situation all the time. Sometimes you're not going to make somebody stop doing something, or you're not going to make somebody come into church just like you want them to. Praise the Lord. You're not always going to change the situation. Or specifically what's going on. But you can change things through hope. You can change your outcome by hope. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so as we go through these things, this is how we count it all joy. Because we have something that we set our hearts on that is much bigger than what we are. Amen? Another problem that Christians have, a lot of reasons they fall into a lack of hope is because they judge everything based on what they can and can't do. One of the things that God has shown me since I've been a pastor is that I can't do it by myself. And he's going to make sure that I'm not, and I'm in a place, he's okay with me being in a place where I can't do it by myself. If you are a person who will not allow things to be done for you, let me just tell you something. You're a person who's going to go through some trial. Because that's a crutch. You think, wait a minute, I'm not relying on anybody but myself. How is that a crutch? It's still a crutch. Because you're doing something opposite of what God has intended for you to do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know how that came out, but it did. Praise the Lord. We have to allow hope to work in us. Amen. Turn with me to Romans 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 1. Glory to God. I love that we have been given hope. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Praise God. Like, listen, we don't just find this place again. When I'm talking about hope, like, I didn't have a 5-minute dissertation on one scripture. Did I? We're going to get scripture after scripture after scripture about hope. Why is that? Because hope is big to God. Yes. Having praise the Lord, having the right hope. I wasn't planning on going here. Hebrews 11:6. Hold your place there in Romans 5. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him." Okay. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." "For he who comes to God must believe that he is," praise the Lord, that he is what he says he is. What did God say he is? He's a provider, healer, rewarder, protector, peace. You have to believe that or you can't please God. Oh my gosh. Christians are so many times they're sitting there, they're like, God, they fall into that trap of, God, why this, why that, why this? He's like, don't you remember what I called myself? Listen, Without faith, praise the Lord, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now he's going to go on to tell us what without faith looks like. Why? Because he wants us to please him. Amen. For he who comes to God must, it's not enough to come to God, is it? It is not enough just to come sit before God and say, God. See, this is what so many people think, that it's enough to come to God. Have you ever heard somebody say, you ever heard somebody who doesn't serve God say, well, I pray?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Why? What do they believe of God?
Right.
It doesn't matter if they pray. They're coming to God. They say, he who comes to God must. We should, praise the Lord. I might have to remind me to do this later. I don't think I have it in there. For he who comes to God must. Remind me to highlight that later, amen. I don't have my highlighters here. Otherwise, I do it right now. He who comes to God must believe. It's a must. Listen. Oh, my. Without faith, it is impossible. It is not possible. It will not happen. You cannot please God without faith. It is impossible. There is no way on earth it's possible. It is not going to happen. It's impossible. Jesus said all things were possible. He meant that except for, praise the Lord, pleasing God without faith. And I'm not changing the word on that, because he said all things are possible. He was talking about all things are possible that are possible. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Right.
Pray to him who believes. Yeah, that's right. All things are possible to him who believes. Yeah, thank you. Glory to God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must. So this is what we need to understand. This is what we need to teach people. Listen, if you're going to God, great. It's awesome that you're actually reaching out to God. That's a wonderful thing. But going to God is not enough. See, a lot of people think that going to God is enough. They, you know, was it last weekend here? I talked about the Christians that come to church and they want a pat on the back because they made it to church. It's like, listen, you're doing the basic thing for yourself. You don't get any brownie points for that. Just because you got before God, just because you pray. Listen, I don't care. There's a lot of people that pray to God and never go anywhere with it. Why? Because they don't believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What is believing that he is a rewarder? Rewarder is something that you don't yet have. Right? Praise the Lord. Because if you did, you wouldn't be seeking it. You're not going to seek something you already got. Amen? Praise the Lord. When I got my tools, when I'm working on something, I was working in my house, and I got my tools, amen, I always end up finding screwdrivers and tape measures, you know, throughout the year. I always end up finding extra ones, because what do? Every time I can't find one, I end up going and buying another one, amen? And then they show up. But listen, if I know where it's at, I don't go to Home Depot and buy another one. Why? Because I don't need to. I know where it's at, amen? The reward is something that comes, so we must believe those who come to God. If you want to come to God in faith and you want to come to God pleasing him, you must believe that he is a rewarder. That is hope. That's what hope is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Faith is what gets you through to that hope. It's what you believe, you know, it's your belief that hope is there, that hope is real, that hope is tangible, that hope will happen. Amen. Glory to God. And so we have to see that. I just love that. I didn't even see some of that before, but praise God. Hallelujah. So we have to remember that when we're dealing with other believers or people that say they're believers, you know, and they say, listen, people that don't go to church, but they talk about praying and stuff like that. Listen, we need to deal with them. We need to talk to them and say, listen, it's great that you do that. But the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so you can pray, 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 pray. You are wasting your time if you are not connecting to God. You're wasting your time. They are wasting their time. Praise God. It's the truth. I don't, you know, necessarily want it to be that way. Yes, I do, because I want it to be the way God designed it. Amen. But you know what I mean? And sometimes it feels like it's easier, but it's like a cop out, you know? It's like people that always do the bare minimum just to get by. You know what I mean? Those aren't, you know, an employee that just does the bare minimum, just what they're told and nothing more. That's not a valuable employee. Like there's so many employees that don't even do what they're told. That's like, as a boss, that's absolutely miserable. When you have an employee that won't even do what they're told, but at least an employee that does what they're told is somewhat valuable. But you're not really valuable until you're an employee that will do more than what you're told.
Right.
Somebody who, oh, I can't stay an extra 10 minutes. I only get paid up till 4 o'clock. Well, listen, if you care about the business, if you care about that thing, you'll do what. Now, I'm not saying that they, you know, somebody should expect it from you or whatever. But what I'm saying is that, see, we have such a mindset that needs to be rattled. We have a mindset that needs to be changed. Because, you know, people always, they just want to give the bare minimum. Listen, I've worked jobs where you work, where you've worked hours and see no compensation for it. But that's when you're working, you know, praise the Lord. No compensation necessarily naturally. But that doesn't mean that God's not watching it. You know, good character, amen? Praise the Lord. Romans 5, were you still there? I got to go back and find it. I told you to stay, but I didn't. Praise God. Romans 5, 1. Praise the Lord. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we're justified by faith. You are not justified because you did something great today. Praise God. You're also not necessarily unjustified because you did something bad today. It's not based on that. You're justified by faith. You're justified by what you believe. Christians, we need to take this seriously. We're justified by what we believe. By what we believe about God. Do you believe God is who he said he is? The same God that said that he was healer, that he was rewarder, the same God that says that he was the giver of wisdom, the same God that gave us the Holy Spirit said, I'll always lead you. Yes. Because that's what he was saying when he gave us the Holy Spirit. Yes. When he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us and said, here you go, I'm giving you the one that will speak to you and show you things to come. Yes. What was he saying? He's saying, I will always lead you. Yes. But God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Oh, really? What do you believe of God? Yeah, right. Your God said that he gave you the Holy Spirit. Right. Do you go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, show me what to do? The reason you don't know. But see, this is what the people, Christians, they forget so often that we are supposed to be the people of hope, but the people that of belief right. by our nature. But well, there's so many people that just don't believe. Yeah. I hear Christians all the time. Christians say, oh, I don't know if that's true. What do you mean it's written? It's written right here. Right. You can't tell. Like, I don't know if that's true. I don't interpret it that way. The reason you don't interpret it is because your mind's all screwed up. Because you're trying to interpret it the way you feel. You're not interpreting what's said. Amen. What does the Bible say? If it says he healed us with an ED, meaning that it was done, it means he healed us. It was done. It's not, we're not waiting for it. It was done. He already did it. Praise God. Hallelujah. If he says that he's provided, then he has already provided. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If he said that, if Jesus is the proof that he would give us all things and therefore would, and if he gave us Jesus and we understand that, hey, we get all things that pertain. The Bible says that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Praise the Lord. What's godliness? It's living right before the Lord. People who are struggling with things. Oh, I can't get beyond this. Of course you can get beyond it if you change your confession. What is your expectation? What is your hope? If you're saying you can't get beyond it, then your hope just became what you can't get beyond. And that's where your expectation, that's where your faith will take you. Because your faith always takes you where your hope rests. It always does. Oh man, I'm getting just about squirrely up here. Your faith will always take you. This is a good notable quote. Yeah. Where your hope rests. Yeah. Quick, take a picture and post this on Facebook. Your hope, your faith always takes you where hope rests. Glory to God. It always does. And so you know where you're going by where your hope is. Or you know where your hope is by where you're going. Or where you end up. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you get somewhere and you're like, man, I don't like being here. Well, set your hope a little bit higher. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And then make your faith follow it. Glory to God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that if as long as you can do it in faith, you're justified. You are free to do it before God. We got people all the time. You know, we post pictures. Oh, man, my wife posts a picture every year of somebody, of pumpkins that we carved. And there are just Christians out there that will just have a fit about that. Yeah. My peace is fine with it. Yeah. There is nothing that tells me that all of a sudden I stopped serving God because I took a giant berries. You know, that pumpkin's actually a berry. Praise the Lord. But I took a giant berry out of a field and I carved a face in it. Now, I wasn't worshiping some devil when I did that. I wasn't worshiping some God when I did that. You know what I was doing? I was like, hey, I want to carve a face in this pumpkin. Amen. Sometimes I draw pictures on pieces of paper. Am I now getting into graven images? Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, did you take a photo of yourself? That's a graven image. There's some people that believe that too. See, the people are so quick to put bondage on you, but I just want to do things in faith. Why? Because that's where I'm justified. I'm not justified in your idea of what I should or shouldn't be doing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We always have some loudmouth Christian get out there. Oh, you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't do it because of this, or you should. Listen, I am not out celebrating Samhain. I'm not worshiping the devil. I'm not doing any. Yeah, you all know that, right? That's the God of, you know, whatever. Praise the Lord. Just that guy. It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. I'm not doing all these things because I'm partaking of that. Right. Amen? Because I'm not partaking of that. Amen? Yeah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. But Christians, we got to learn how to be free. Yeah. And when I mean we got to learn how to be free, I mean we don't have to justify freedom. We have to learn how to actually be free. Yeah. How Christians are free. We're not free but from our bondage. Right. Right. Yeah, amen. Well, praise the Lord. What I meant is we're not free through our bondage. We are free from our bondage. Amen. So if we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also we have access by faith. We have access to God through Jesus through faith. What's faith? It's what you believe. Praise God. It's hope. It's the expectation of what you believe. Amen. So hope works that we are the people of hope. We have access to God through what we believe. What do we believe God will be doing? Lord, I believe you in this thing. I believe you will always take care of me because I do the best that I can. I do what, you know, I mean, do the word. Obviously, you know, if you're not a tither, you can't claim God's provision. You'll never be able to do it. Let me just tell you this. If you are a tither, but you're not a giver, you cannot claim God's provision. Why? Because God set up tithing and giving to provide for you. That's what the purpose of it's for. The purpose is not just to steal money from poor people. I mean, that's the way a lot of people look at it. But that's not what the purpose. God gave. He told us specifically in his word, tithing and giving is meant to increase you. You cannot increase unless you tithe and give. Right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're not a good steward of the things that you have, don't expect God to increase you with more. Why? Because he won't. You want God to take care of your body, but you put garbage into it all the time. Don't expect God to take care of it. Well, I'm just saying. Amen. But on the other hand, we're not going to be perfect living through life, and we can't worry about, oh, did I get every single thing just right? No, you see, that's the opposite, and that's just the other ditch. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So where was I? Can't tell by that anymore. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace. Remember, grace is God's ability. I don't know. I know we've preached it before, but through whom? So through Jesus, we have access to God by faith into his ability, into grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. It's saying the same thing. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character, hope. Amen. Hallelujah. So perseverance is needed. That's endurance, the same thing, right? It produces character. Oh, character is a good thing. Amen. Praise God. We all know the spoiled rich brat. You know what I mean? You know some spoiled rich brat was born with a silver spoon in their mouth. What do we know about them? As far as finances go, they don't have good character. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But just because you're poor doesn't mean you have good character either. Because Because a lot of people stay in poverty because they don't have good character. Ouch. What do you mean? Yeah, that's the truth. You can stay in poverty because you don't have good character. God's word will take his people out of poverty every single time. Why? Because that's what it's meant to do. Praise the Lord. One of the things Jesus said is, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. Why? Because once they get the truth, if they hook up to the truth, then all things are possible. Amen. I love the word of God because it doesn't matter what background you come from. If you'll just believe it, if you'll just trust it, glory to God, you'll go into all that he has for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did I get to verse 5 yet? Nope. So character produces hope. Now hope does not disappoint. It doesn't disappoint. It doesn't disappoint. How do I know if I can keep my hope on? Man, that's a pretty big lofty thing to keep my hope on. What does the Bible say? When it's real, it don't disappoint. Amen. It means it's going to come to pass. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. He is a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee. Oh, but he's just that guy that we refer to when we baptize people. Right? I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who is this Holy Spirit anyway? Isn't it funny how most Christians have no idea what the Holy Spirit is or who he is or what he's supposed to do? Like, people have no idea. And yet we keep seeing this theme of the Holy Spirit. You know why? It's because religion has made Christians invalids. Made them invalids. They don't even understand because they got so far away from it. They don't know who he is. The part of God that is working through us every single day, and people don't even know who he is. Well, glory to God. But hope doesn't disappoint because it's poured out. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So turn with me to 1 John 5:14. We are the people of hope. If you're a Christian who has no hope, then you are a Christian who, A, does not have a relationship with God, because you can't have a real relationship with God and have no hope. Right. Amen? Amen? My family, because of their close relationship with me, gets to experience all of me. Yep. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, sometimes that's good and bad when you're talking about me. But with God, it's not so. But why? Not everybody gets to have that experience. My sons, my daughter, they can come up to me anytime and just talk to me. And they can pick my brain anytime they want. Sometimes I wonder why they don't. Maybe because they picked it before. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But, they can come up to me and they can wake me up in the middle of the night. They can come into my bedroom in the middle of the night. Any one of them can come into my bedroom in the middle of the night and they can crawl in right next to me. Why? Because of their relationship with me. Yeah. Amen? I don't keep them from it. Now, if you came and crawled in my bed in the middle of the night, we might have something to say about that. We have a different relationship. Amen? But if you have a relationship with God, then you can't stay depressed. Why? He won't let you. God will not let you. If you have a relationship with God, he will not keep you. He will not allow you to stay down. This is why Christians, they just listen. This is why we point back to the word. You got to just get that relationship with God going. You got to get it flowing, because once you get into God flow, praise the Lord, you're going to get into some good things. He will not let you stay poor. He will not, poor of spirit, poor down. The Bible says that he exalts us in due time. He does. That's part of what he does. Why? Because he's a good daddy. That's what good daddies do. They exalt their kids. Amen. Praise God. So 1 John 5:14. Still not there. Now, this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. Confidence. Guess what confidence is? It's boldness. It's surety. You want to know what else it is? It's hope. It's the same word. This is the confidence that we have in him. Praise the Lord. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, you can't take the scripture out. No. You can't take it out. Yeah. Okay, Christians saying that your prayers are never answered, that God just doesn't do it. What does the scripture say? Yeah. Well, I, that's not what I'm seeing. You're disconnecting. Yeah. You're trying to judge the word according to what you feel or what you see. See, you need to get somewhere where you're taught, so you get to hear something a little bit different. That you get to hear something that will actually change your life. Because the word of God, it always works. Not sometimes. When he says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. Do you know that he hears you? What's your expectation of God? When Christians don't even pray, first of all, but then when you get them to pray, do you even know that God is hearing you? There's some, God, if you hear me, what do you believe in God? Remember Hebrews 11:6. What do you believe in? See, that's the thing. But see, this is the thing. It's not just enough to know that he hears you. Because the Bible doesn't say it's enough that you know that he hears you, but that you know that he's also going to do what you asked. Because it's in his will, and you know what his will is because you've been in his word. You know that Hebrews 11:6 says that he is a rewarder. That you need to know that he's a rewarder. You cannot argue the fact because Hebrews 11:6 says it's true. And if Hebrews 11:6 is false, if 1 John 5:14 and 5:15 are false, then I just got to tell you something. If Mark 11:23, praise the Lord, if that's false, then guess what? So is salvation. So is all your faith in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. If that's false, the rest of it's false. If you can't believe this, how can you believe that anymore? Why? Just because you like it? Because you like the idea that when you die, you don't have to spend eternity in hell? Or that you can have an idea of where you go? But see, most Christians, they don't even know what it means to go to heaven. They don't understand that when they step over. Listen, I understand that death can be sorrowful in a moment when you miss somebody. But listen, death for a Christian is promotion. Yes. Glory to God. So even if you get taken out early, at least you get to go into promotion. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's like winning. It's better than winning the lottery. Yeah. But we got to understand these things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm not saying you can't have sorrow. You can't miss somebody when they're gone. Of course you can. But praise the Lord. We need to put that in perspective and not sorrow as those who don't have any hope. Because we are the people of hope. Turn to Romans 8:24. Praise God. We are the people of hope. That's who we are, folks. We are the people of hope. Good hope. Good expectation hope. Not just hope. Not just bad, hope for whatever. No. Because, you can hope for whatever, but that's just as foolish as saying, well, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, everything happens for a reason. Something caused something to happen. Yeah. We know that. Yeah. That's basic physics. We know that everything happens for a reason. But we know, praise God, hallelujah. I hear that. So I still hear it every once in a while. Every time I hear it, I just want to be, I just like shake my head. Everything happens for a reason. We believe that. Good. Good. You're functioning as a human. You can rationalize simple thought. Everything happens for a reason. Yeah. Glory to God. Your shin hurts because I kicked it. That was the reason. Amen. Romans 8:24. Your eye hurts because I poked it. Romans 8:24. Do we find it? I'm still looking for it. I see it on the page and the screen. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? I love this scripture. It's just so clear, but it's so obviously hope is something that isn't manifested yet. Right. Hope is something out there, because why you wouldn't hope for something that you see, right? I don't buy a tape measure if I got one laying right there that's perfectly good. Right. Well, sometimes I might, but but that's different a little bit. But you understand the principle. I don't go looking for it. If I say it's right there, well, where, No, when you hope for those things that you don't see. But if we hope for what we do not see, we what? Eagerly wait for it with perseverance or patience or endurance. Yeah. Amen. We eagerly wait for it. What's eagerly waiting for? My dog, oh man, Praise the Lord. I just love it when like you can get my dog going real easy, like most dogs, you know. But you just start talking right to him. You know what I mean? You don't even have to offer anything. But you just start talking right. You just get a certain tone in your voice. In fact, I've learned you can say anything you want to her as long as you say it in a nice voice. Yeah. She'll get excited. Yeah. You're such an idiot. They love it. I mean, she will just, her tail will go back and forth. Why? Because she doesn't know what's being said. She's just liking the tone. Amen? That's eagerly waiting, man. Because she has expectation. Why? But see, this is the thing. The reason we can do that is because I don't say, you're such an idiot, and then go punch her. I don't go kick her. People do that, right? And those kind of animals, they don't act the same. They're not eagerly waiting humans to come by. In fact, sometimes they even have to put those animals down because they can't interact with humans anymore because they think just bad stuff is going to happen. But see, that's what people have done. They've projected every bad thing that happens. They've projected it on God. Their hope drops, their expectation drops. And then when you bring God out, they're like, I don't want anything to do with God. He's mean. He's nasty. Don't you think that's a ploy of the devil? Yes. But Christian, I don't even want to say Christians. Churches play this game all the time. Well, God just needed another angel. Well, God just, you know, he wants you to learn something by being sick. So I'm going to tell you something. God has never used sickness to teach you something. Right. Never. 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 The trials of Christ, people talk about that all the time. Well, what does it mean to take up your cross? Well, look at what the trials of Christ were. How many times in Scripture do you see Jesus had a cold? Never. How many times in Scripture does it talk about Jesus having a rash or Jesus just being sick? No. You don't even hear of Jesus vomiting, right? No. Except for one time when he says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. Yeah. The only time Jesus vomited or even talks about vomiting is when he's around lukewarm Christians. Yeah. What's that? Christians who are wishy-washy. Yeah. Christians who say they're Christians, but they don't really believe. Yeah. How much of the church is that? Yeah. I mean, seriously. Yeah. And so we understand. Praise God, just checking the time. But so we understand that, you know, God, Jesus, we don't see Jesus like the cross. If you're picking up your cross and following him, it's doing the things. What was Jesus? How was he persecuted? He was persecuted by people daily. He had people railing against him daily. And even his death was not a natural death. What was he? He was essentially beaten to death. You know, that's essentially what it was. I mean, he gave up his spirit, but that's essentially what got him to that point. Never was it sickness that took him out. Never was it, you know, it wasn't like Jesus took the day off today because he was coughing. No. See, this is what I'm saying, is that we never see Jesus be sick. And yet, so for some reason, people think that God wants to make us sick because he wants to teach us something. And they put those scriptures together because it sounds good to them. This is how I can justify me living this way or not living this way, is that because I'll make it say what I want it to say. It makes me feel better. And then they teach it to other people that way. And then they have generation after generation after generation who is taught the same garbage. And you know what? There's times I can't even preach it out of people. I show people the word. I'm like, look at what the word says. I mean, I've sat down with people and say, it says this, and it says this, and it says this, and it says this. They still don't believe it. But my religion taught me. So there's your expectation, there's your hope, and then that's what you have. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why don't certain churches see healings? Because certain churches don't believe that God's a healer. If you don't believe God's a healer, you are not going to benefit. He is not going to reward that. Why? Because you don't reward bad behavior, do you? Well, I mean, they like to in this society. But why? Because the devil's in it. Yeah. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Hope does not see with the natural eye, but it does see with the spirit. In other words, hope, because we're told hope that's seen is not hope. So hope does not see things with the natural eye. If you're hoping for something, if your hope is set on something, you hope that this will happen or this will transpire, it means that you cannot see it. But in your spirit, you allow yourself to see it. Oh, yeah, I can see it. Sometimes I daydream about things that God has. Why? Set my expectation higher. As high as I can set my expectation, he's going to meet it and exceed it. Why? Because Ephesians 3:20 tells us that he does exceedingly abundantly above, praise the Lord, essentially all we hope. We expect. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So you're there in verse 24. Just skip on down to 28 because we all love 28. And we know. That all things, say all things, work together for good. Yeah, they don't just work together. They work together for good. Amen? To those. Okay, that is very important in there. You should underline that. To those. That means to only those, no one else. To those. Listen, this does not say because you're Christian, all things work together for the good. This says to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. In other words, those who are following Him. Those who are endeavoring to be in the will of God, those are the ones. Because those who, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my commandments. You'll do what I told you to do. Yes, that's what he said. So to those who love God, those who do what he does, all things work together for the good. So listen, if you just happen to be a person that your heart is set on, your first hope should be set on just doing what God wants you to do. If your hope is set there and say, you know what? There is nothing he can't have me do that I won't do. And listen, if God tells you to do it, it means you can do it. Yeah. Right. Amen. God told me I could pastor. Yeah. So guess what? That means I can do it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You might not think so, but I can. I know that I can. You can't change my mind on it because he told me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't need somebody else to tell me because God has told me. God has said it. And so this is what we under. All things work together for the good for these people. And so, Christian, if you're a Christian and all things are not working together for good, you need to check up on where your expector's at. Where is my expector? What am I expecting? Am I expecting God to do good things? Am I expecting God to change those bad situations? Am I expecting God to raise me up like he raised Jesus up? Am I expecting God to make me the head, not the tail, like the Bible says? Am I expecting God to put me above and not beneath? Am I expecting this thing? Or do I expect God to knock me down every chance he gets? Now, I'll just tell you, it won't be God knocking you down, but you will be knocked down. You'll never grow above. Because if you only believe God knocks down, then you'll never believe him for bringing you up. And never truly believe him. You might hope that he does, but not the hope like the Bible says. You might just be like, oh, I hope this happens. But that's not an expectation. Remember, hope in the Bible is expectation. It's going to happen. Yeah. Because it has to, because the word says so. Amen? Amen.